Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, with a headbanging song in his heart, here's Nate.
What's up, people? There, let's bring everybody on in there.
Well, hello.
Yeah.
Yay.
You made it, Becca.
I know. Me and Tesla, we're linked. That's super exciting. Thanks for the new intro.
Yeah. There are actually four new intros, so.
Ooh.
Collect them all.
Doing stuff. It's all right. Coming up tonight on the show, Ann Curry's tortured.
Oh. Poor Ann.
Sort of. We'll look at some bad mechanics and not Florida corner, but Ohio corner, because it is the Florida of the North.
I think it would be, wouldn't it be like Ohio cul-de-sac or something?
No, it's Ohio, like, the Florida of the North.
Still corner. But I mean, there's no, like an Ohio, like a Midwest version of a corner.
But we
a
can't corner. Play, we can't play Creedence Clearwater if we say cul-de-sac. We got to do the down the corner.
You're right.
Yeah.
Down in the cul-de-sac.
Is it swing states that have really stupid people? Is that the problem?
Oh.
I'm just making an observation. Florida and Ohio are swing states.
Oh, but you know what?
Do
disproven by Arizona.
Oh. God.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah. All right. Let's start this bad boy off. Ted, how was your week?
Oh, my week was fantastic. Becca Costello and I went to the Earth Day Festival in Sacramento.
We had, I was there, too.
You were there?
I was there.
They had,
I didn't see you guys. We weren't there that long.
For the first time, we got to try Dave Pops, which are these amazing vegan ice cream. Well, they're not ice cream. They're popsicles, but they taste like ice cream. They're so amazing, and I want to eat them all the time, but I can't. But Dave Pops, everyone, find them and eat them.
Did you see the bat?
We did not see a
bat.
There was a lady with like a bat group, and she had little bats, and she was feeding them grubs, and you could hear them go yum 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 in their little bat ways. It was really cute.
How did I miss that?
Someone had a rabbit on a leash, which I thought was a little unusual.
Oh yeah, they were walking it, hopping it around.
Yeah,
you don't want that running free.
No.
No.
Tear into some stuff.
Yeah.
So that's very crunchy of you.
Oh, I'm very crunchy. I'm a crunchy guy. It was a totally vegan festival, which was interesting. They had no cheese even at the Mexican food stands.
Except for the bat. The bat didn't have to go vegan.
True.
Lucky bat.
Get to eat a grub.
Oh.
Yeah.
But the lady did tell us that, because my friend was asking about, like, oh, how do you volunteer with this? I love bats. This is amazing. And she's like, well, it's fun, but, I mean, the downside is since they are rabies vector, you have to get all the rabies shots before you can, which I guess is a really unpleasant.
Is it worth it to have bats?
I don't know.
Huh. You have to find out, Becca, so. Christiana, get back to us.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm not as moved by bats, so I didn't ask about the volunteering.
It's like, but, okay, I'm not going to do it now.
You know, they're important. They reduce insects, and I don't know.
That is exciting. Becca, other than Earth Day, anything fun this week?
Yeah, we were actually making some props for our upcoming critical hit geek comedy show. And I don't want to suggest too much, but we did have to make clothing and wigs for Marshmallow Peeps on Friday night. Mm. So that was an adventure that we didn't know we had that skill set, but now we're ready. If you have any naked peeps you need dressing, Ted and I are
untapped market.
Yeah.
There may be a fetish site for dressing up peeps.
Probably.
There will be now.
if anyone wants to see our peep artwork, it will be at the Critical Hit Show on May 10th.
May 10th, eh?
Yes.
At the Sacramento Comedy Spot?
Well, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Where it will be.
Ooh, but what if you can't wait until May 10th to see Critical Hit perform? Oh. Then what would you do?
Ooh, well, if you're in town on May 4th, you would go to the May the 4th Star Wars event that's going to be in West Sacramento. That the whole city is getting behind, I gather.
They really are excited in West Sac. I have West Sac friends, and they're pretty psyched.
Star Wars brings everyone together. It bridges so many different
May
cultures.
May the 4th be with you.
But just to be clear, the peeps will not be at the May the 4th event, but lots of Star Wars fun will be there.
Yeah.
Mm. Also coming up this Saturday at the Sacramento Comedy Spot, it's In Your Facebook Show.
Oh, yeah.
With Christiana, myself, and Ted.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Come on out, y'all.
Yeah, come on out. The show starts at 8. You can see the one show for one price, or you can see us and Anti-Cooperation League for a combo price.
It's a deal.
It is a deal. It's 2 hours of entertainment, and I guarantee it's better than the last Die Hard movie. I guarantee that.
Wow.
Fantastic.
It's not a money guarantee, but I had to see the last Die Hard movie, and it sucked.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Christiana, what about you? Anything fun this week?
Let's see. This past weekend, my daughter had her first soccer game.
Yes. How did that go?
She is three.
She's British.
So she's not. Yeah, but it's not even. When you start them this young, you know, there's like the joke about when they're in K-League and kindergarten, they all, it's just like one moving clump of kids kicking at the ball, moving around the field in a group. When they're three, they don't even do that. they don't necessarily get that they're supposed to be going after the ball. And so I couldn't get her out there for the first like quarter or half. And then she finally agreed to get on the field. And so she stood by the ball. And then, you know, the ref blew the whistle. Another kid came up and kicked the ball, which is how the game is played. And she did not take it well. She stopped in the middle of the field and just looked down. And I caught it all on tape. Her entire 28 seconds of her first soccer game is now immortalized on tape, which is, not to be like, look at videos of my kid, but it is pretty effing hilarious. And
she's going to appreciate that a lot when she gets to junior high.
Yeah, she was super sad, and it was hilarious for the parents.
So she just left the game after that?
So, she just walked out the field. And that was it. Literally, her entire first soccer game experience was about 28 seconds long.
I'm out.
Yep. So she's done.
Is there actually a winning team and a losing team? Is a goal?
You're not
goal
allowed
score?
To keep score.
Oh, okay. God.
And there are no winner. I know. And there's no winners and losers. Which
just
I'm
like
okay
life.
With. I know. I'm okay with when they're three and four because they really don't. They don't know anything that's going on. And I like it. Part of it that kind of adds to the entertainment too, because there's it's 3-on-3, like three little kids versus three little kids, and all their matching T-shirts. And we were like the green team. Actually, our team name is the Force.
Nice.
We played the Tigers and they were very good. There was like a ringer 3-year-old on the other team. He was actually really good at ball control for a 3-year-old. But
he's like secretly five and he's just
I know,
really
I'm like,
short.
I want to see a birth certificate.
Yeah.
Became a soccer birther. But the there's a lot of like, which way are we going? We're going that way, everybody run that way. If we're gonna run this way, run that way. And the kids don't retain that for very long. They're just like, I got a ball, I'm gonna run. And so one of our kids was advancing on our own goal and the ref was like, other way, other way. And the guy who's coaching our team was like, don't worry about it. Just go kick the ball. Go for it. Kick it in. So we didn't. I mean, who knows what the score really was?
It doesn't really matter.
Like
you said, when they're that age, it doesn't
matter. Just cute. It was just teaching them to run for the goal shaped object. And if they had regulation size net, they would have scored a bajillion goals. But they have like little tiny hoop net things.
Yeah, well, put them on a regulation size field and
they
see
would
how
pass out. but it was pretty amusing. So that was our Saturday morning. Was doing that.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I wrapped up one job and started another one. So that was interesting and exciting. The last day at a job is always weird. Because it's like the best day ever. Because people take you out to lunch and they tell you how great you are and. And it's like, if every day were like this, I don't know that I'd leave. but I know that's not the way it goes. So, went out for drinks on Friday night at Uncle Vito's for a little bit, hung out on the patio. Saw some very interesting folks wandering around, as one will in Midtown Sacramento. One guy came through and he was asking us, where's the sheriff's department? We're like, what? The sheriff's department. Where's the sheriff's department? And there's this other table.
Turn myself in.
I have no idea what his deal was, but this other table of people are like, oh yeah, it's on I Street. So just keep on going until you hit I Street and take a left. And it's way far.
Yeah, it really far. Is. Yeah, that's pretty far.
And I don't know if that's the sheriff's office. I know that's the county,
jail. There'll be a sheriff.
Yeah,
there,
there'll
deputy.
Be somebody there to help you.
to a cell right this way, sir.
It's true. Come on. Come on down. And then I started the new job on Monday morning, which was weird because I went in a completely different direction to leave for work, which, I mean, normally, like, if you start a job, you're like, okay, I go this way and that, doing this, where am I going? It was just so weird because I went the wrong way, and then I got on a highway, which I didn't have to do before. And then I got off the highway in not the best section of town. But the good thing is I do have the employee code so that I can park in the secure lot behind the building to stay away from the locals.
Jeez.
Yeah. It is a place where you do hit the lock button on your car door when you pull out of the gate just because. It's probably the best thing to do. But no, super excited for, you know, new opportunities and stuff like that. But yeah, and then this weekend, I don't know what was up. I didn't really feel very good. It sort of hit me like a ton of bricks on Saturday. I was out picking things up, and then just suddenly my throat started to feel kind of really weird, and I just didn't feel myself, and that sort of carried through into like middle of the day on Sunday. And so, no, it wasn't a hangover, because that would have been early on Saturday, and I didn't have that much to drink.
Were
so.
You just still drunk on Saturday morning?
No, no, not at all. I had like four beers. It wasn't, okay, five beers. over the course of 3 hours. Yeah, it was very interesting, because, you know, you go from in one job where you're like, I know where everything is, I know who everybody is, I know what I'm doing, and you start a new job, and even if you're very qualified for it, you don't know who everybody is, you don't know where anything is, and you just feel, you have that moment of feeling like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Why did I leave?
Yeah, I'm like, I knew where everything was, and then you go, oh yeah, that's why. So that...
were there any, like, ominous interactions on your first day? Was it like friendly people? Was there any like, hey, watch out for Bob, he's kind of weird?
No, it's everything was fine. Everybody is very nice.
I got
to meet Bethany Crouch in person. I know Ted's excited.
I don't know the Fox 40 people.
Well, you're gonna get to know the Fox 40 people.
I love Fox 40.
I got to meet Bethany.
KCRA is dead to me. That's I'm kidding. I love them. Edie, I love you.
We're sorry, Edie.
I will say this on Friday, and we're gonna talk about Boston for a minute or two. David Beanick, who is a reporter at KCRA, and I worked with him here. I worked with him back at WPTZ in Plattsburgh, New York, a decade ago or more. And he was in New York to cover the NBA meetings, the whole thing with the Kings. And he and his photog, Robbie Beesom, rented a car in New York and drove up to Boston, and got to Boston just in time for the standoff on Friday afternoon and evening to report on that. And their coverage was so good. David Beanick is a phenomenal reporter, straight out. And just great at what he does. But the feed that they were getting was better than the local Boston stations. Like, he just rolled into town. They're like rolling into town, set up, do their thing. Great. It was on network.
How do you like uplink that? I mean, was the guy carrying like a little satellite thing in his pocket? I've just got my camera and a rented Fiat and I can do this.
It is like the, you remember Al Franken's one man mobile uplink unit? It's just like that.
No,
I'm just kidding. No, it's, it's something called Backpack, and a lot of stations have
like
it.
Like Dora has?
It's a little more magical.
Sorry, that's like a 2%.
I like the Ghostbusters have.
Yeah, closer to Ghostbusters.
Don't cross the streams. Definitely not with CNN, because that shit gets weird.
And what it allows you to do is uplink so that you can be anywhere and send the signal back. I don't know all the technical stuff, and it doesn't matter.
I kind of want one.
But
just, you know, as a gadget.
There you go. But you need somebody. It's like a walkie-talkie. Getting one walkie-talkie is pointless.
Can I get it on Amazon?
You might go through NateDarlingShow.com if you're going to. So anyway, they were there for that whole run up to the capture and everything, and that was just crazy. That was my last day at work. So like at work, trying to, you know, saying goodbye to people who were there was very difficult because everybody's running around.
A day when there's actual news,
and then. There were people who were late to the party because there was breaking news. It was still on TV. So everything sort of wrapped up with that. But just craziness going on with the whole thing in Boston.
Terrorism affects all of our lives.
It does.
Your party wasn't well attended. I'm sorry. That was very crass.
It was well attended. It was just attended a little later.
I know. You're dealing well with it.
So, I mean, did you guys see the whole, were you sort of riveted by the coverage on Friday? Or just...
I kept popping into your friend, we'll call him Brian's office, at my office to see what's going on because he's the only one with a TV that's normally on the news.
Right.
No, I don't know. I sort of had a self-imposed blackout during the day on Friday. And when I got home, I turned on the TV for a minute to see sort of where it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to explain gunfights to my 3-year-old. So
right.
I just waited and trusted somebody to post some shit on Facebook when things happened. So. Well,
most of the day it was nothing. It was right. like just tracking down and finding. And then there was the lead that somebody had found, probably somebody hiding in a boat in their backyard, which then turned out to be him. So,
did you hear the name of it? The name of the boat was called the Slip Away.
Two,
which I just was like, that's funny to me for some reason.
Yeah,
he didn't.
No.
False advertising.
The technology that the cops used to pinpoint him, the infrared and heat cameras were just crazy. And that stuff came out after. Like, that stuff that's come out in the past day or so, early in the week, where they were able to, from the air, have a heat camera shining down so they could see, one, that he was in the boat, two, that he was alive, and three, that he was moving.
Ooh.
Whoa.
You know, so there's no hiding, bad guys. They're coming for you.
Yeah.
They're coming for you.
He also just didn't kill himself very well.
Now, if they determined that he was trying to kill himself, or is it... Because last I heard,
well,
they hadn't determined
that. Well, he shot himself in the face.
But has it been determined that he shot himself in the face? I haven't heard that yet.
Well, that's... I don't remember what the source was, but that he was shot through the mouth or something, and that's why he can't talk very well right now.
He does have a throat wound, so... So there's that, but some really weird stuff. Now, you guys don't watch live TV. How were you sort of informed of the doings on Friday?
Smoke signals? No, we're on Facebook,
I was driving around listening to NPR, sounds the same as last week, and during the early part of the day when the city was on lockdown, but they didn't have any information yet. So NPR was basically just talking to residents of Boston on the phone, like, how's it going? Good, I'm inside my house. Have you mm-hmm. seen anything? No. And it was just kind of that kind of coverage. And then I didn't really tune in again until the evening on the internet. And by then, you know, articles that were somewhat cohesive, you know, kind of had the story coming out. So,
yeah, it was crazy. And then the fact that and they still haven't determined an exact cause of death for the suspect number one or the older brother. But we did find out that he was run over by his younger brother.
Whoops.
Yeah. So in the attempt to escape and elude law enforcement, and there were varying stories as to whether suspect number one had been shot, was dead beforehand. But supposedly suspect number two gunned the car at officers as they were apprehending his brother, who might not have been dead, and ran over him.
Did you know that the brother is married and he has a kid?
That was new to on Monday. Yeah,
I don't know why I find that like so surprising, but I did.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't really want to know more about them. I've sort of imposed a ban on his picture on my Facebook feed, where I just anybody with a link where it shows that, I just hide it, because I'm all for not making terrorists celebrities. Serial killers, sure, but terrorists, no. You know, I'm kidding. It's a crazy, crazy situation. And there was an article that I saw online today from Esquire about the one night stand gone wrong.
Yes, that was funny. I read that.
some fellow was drunk, got a text from a lady friend who said, come on up. And this was on Thursday evening. And Friday, the city was locked down. So there were no cabs. There was no public transit. So, and everybody was supposed to stay inside where they were.
Ooh.
So he was sort of trapped all day with his clothes from the day before. His shame and the sit of shame. I believe the shame came from the roommate.
Yeah.
Like, why are you here? So anyway, that's the Boston update. Some crazy stuff. More stuff coming out, but I don't know if we're going to find out anything from this guy or not. And we'll see. It'll all come out. There'll be a movie of the week on Lifetime or something. I don't know. This weekend, watch the Formula One Grand Prix in Bahrain.
Yep. I saw it.
Did you finally
see it? I finally. Yes, I did.
Okay. I know you guys don't care, but I found it interesting, not necessarily because of the race, but as they were having the trophy presentation, they have the top three finishers, and then they have the constructor gets a trophy, and the constructor is whoever is the team with the winning car. And this time, it was Red Bull that won, and they sent one of their female team members in Bahrain, of all places, to accept the Constructor's Trophy. I just found that very interesting that it's great that they did because they have multiple female team members who are an integral part of what they're doing. But to do it in Bahrain, I think, was a kind of a bold and pre-calculated statement.
Ooh.
It is. I don't know that Bahrain... Well, Bahrain has a lot of issues still. Like, they canceled the Grand Prix there 2 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. Did they have it last year? I can't remember if it was...
I think they did, and there was a story about
protesters outside, yeah. Whatever.
Blah, blah, blah. Protesters.
But I don't know... I mean, is Bahrain... I don't know that much about Bahrain. I'm trying to look it up right now, but I'm not sure that it's quite the same as, you know, it wasn't Afghanistan. I don't know if it's...
It is the Middle East, though. It's not known for progressive female...
But they still have track... They still have, like, girls, don't they? Sign girls. They're just covered up more.
Yes. They have track girls everywhere.
Yeah. That's so, they're not, you know.
But it was a very different position to see a woman in the position of receiving a trophy. As like, here, you're going to accept it for the team because this is what we do. So I thought that was a really cool move. Not only to spread it around to have different members of the team accept the trophy when they win, but that they decided to go, all right, it's your turn, lady.
It would be cool in any country also, since it is such a...
Yeah, yeah, but it...
Yeah. No, it's extra. I'm not disagreeing.
It's extra super cool. What? Now from the Middle East to West Virginia, where a high school student is filing an injunction against her principal, who she claims is threatening to punish her for speaking out against a factually inaccurate abstinence assembly at her school. Caitlin Campbell, who is the student body vice president at George Washington High School, alleges her principal threatened to call the college where she's been accepted to report that she has, quote, bad character. Really? George Washington High School recently hosted a conservative speaker, Pam Stenzel, who travels around the country to advocate an abstinence-only approach to teen sexuality.
Ooh.
Yeah, kids, get out there and do it. Stenzel has a long history of using inflammatory rhetoric to convince young people they'll face dire consequences for becoming sexually active. At the assembly, she allegedly told students, if you take birth control, your mother probably hates you. Okay, let me break this down. If you're a teenager, your mother probably hates you because you're a pain in the ass. It has nothing to do with your birth control.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. It passes. Becca's very quiet. My mother loved me all the way through because I was perfect.
She did.
Aww.
Were you the perfect teenager?
I wasn't perfect, but no, it was all right.
Were you
it
taking birth control? Was that what was keeping you?
No, not in high school.
There you go.
I did not have the action going on then. But I loved this story. I mean, not the jerky principal, but I think that the student is, she's just amazing. She's so outspoken and fantastic. And I love that her college is supporting her.
Like that, yeah, they tweeted like, come on down, Wellesley. She's some damn Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, the other thing that the speaker told them is, I quote, I could look at any one of you in the eyes right now and tell if you're going to be promiscuous. Yeah, it's stupid. She also asserted the condoms aren't safe and every instance of sexual contact will lead to sexually transmitted infection. No, it won't. Especially if you don't do it with people who don't have sexually transmitted diseases. And by the way, condoms do help. So the principal didn't see anything wrong with hosting Senzel. The only way to guarantee safety is abstinence. That's true. Sometimes that can be a touchy topic, but I was not offended by her, he told the West Virginia Gazette. Now, it's true. Abstinence will absolutely 100% prevent disease. But to teach that is the only thing is silly.
And to lie about it is irresponsible.
Well, it's scary tale. Scary tales of the vagina. Ooh.
Yeah, it's a scary place.
It is. For Kendall.
And it's just creepy for adults to be like, I can look at you and know if you're going to be promiscuous. Like, that's just...
Usually, isn't that what the coach says before? He's like, you need to stop by my office, Susie, after track practice.
Seriously, that's what I was thinking. Because there was a teacher at my high school who used to tell me, you know, that he didn't necessarily approve of my outfit or whatever. Like, he was a little too interested in my clothes and stuff. And about 2 years after that, he got fired for doing inappropriate things with the cheerleader. No.
Oh,
right?
Gross.
But he was always kind of puritanical. Like, he would sort of say things like, oh, if I was your mother, I don't know if I'd let you out of the house wearing that, blah, blah, blah.
That's what
you say. But then...
See, that's terrible here. Because we have this problem, tangent. We have this problem in the high school program that I work with where we have a strict... very plain modest dress code for professional attire the kids have to wear, and the program's predominantly like gal populated, but we have a ton of, you know, male adult volunteers, and they won't enforce the dress code on the girls. And the guys aren't the ones with a problem. And so we're like, you just watched six girls with skirts like up to here. And they're like, well, I don't want to say anything about it. And I'm all, yeah, I get it, because
then you're the creepy guy.
Yeah, then you're the creepy guy. But also, like, you can't just leave like all the rule enforcement to everybody else. Like, we literally can't stop everybody as they're walking past who has these violations. And you have to, I don't know, not, it's sad that the entire world has to be based on a fear of, you know, a pedophilia charge.
Well, right. So, but it is true.
Yeah, but it's sensationalized too. Like, not every dude does that. Not every dude is thinking about that.
Yeah, not at all.
And,
But if you're an adult and you reference something like that, especially if you're an adult male and you reference that in an underage female, yeah, that can lead to things. Because it just has to be, if she takes it the wrong way, she goes to her parents and goes, listen, Mr. Sampson said something about my skirt length, like that it was too short and that I should do something about it. And then parents complain and blah, blah, blah. And suddenly Mr. Sampson is answering questions for doing his job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like I sympathize with
them. I sympathize with them too, but there has to, we have to come to some kind of, there has to be some other way, you know?
Oh, yeah.
All the guys to say is, I'm sorry you're not in dress code. You need to go talk to your advisor. And they're going to have a woman advisor they can talk to.
Mm.
Oh,
but they
right.
won't say, like, they won't do anything. They won't bring it up. They won't tell them to talk to somebody else. They won't do it. They're just like, nah.
Susie, I can see your vulva in that skirt. No? Bad. Anyway.
Yeah, usually not.
Speaking of inappropriate things, Pat Robertson knows that demonic spirits are behind everything from homosexuality and Halloween to karate and secondhand sweaters. So it came to, it's true. So,
secondhand sweaters are bad?
Mm-hmm. Very much so. It's came
that to, Macklemore guy. Because mm-hmm. he's all about the gays and the thrift shopping.
It came as no surprise when he warned 700 Club viewers that Dungeons & Dragons is a demonic game. Let's take a listen to Mr. Robertson.
For your opinion, is it safe for a Christian to enjoy video games that have magic in them if the person playing the games is not practicing the magic?
Okay.
Who asked these questions?
I don't have a wand myself.
Someone named John was asking this question. So the question is about video games with magic in them. So let's listen to the response.
I think, you know, the idea is, not how close can I get to danger, but how far away can I stay from it? I don't know what game you're talking about. I know there's one called Dungeons & Dragons that literally destroyed people's lives. I mean, literally. They got into this thing and they were almost, it was like demonic.
Ted, you've played Dungeons & Dragons, haven't you?
Well, he's also Jewish, so.
Yeah, so I'm a lost cause.
Fair.
I don't know what game you're talking about, but if it's based on magic and the occult and that sort of thing, stay away from it. There are other games you can play, but don't get into that. You see, is it wrong or not wrong? I just think that we should flee from evil, period.
Get in your car and flee from evil. That is a video game I would play. I would play Flee from Evil.
That sounds like a good game.
I only like Flee from Evil 2, The Battle for Gooddom.
Yeah, that whole Dungeons and Dragons is evil thing has been gone around for so long. I can't even believe he brought it up again. But actually, I can't believe it.
Does it work? Can you do can you do magical things when you're playing it?
Only if
do
I sacrifice a small animal.
Mm-hmm. You know what it does? It repels girls for a long time. It's like,
hey now.
Has anybody's life actually been ruined by Dungeons and Dragons? Because I can kind of understand. With the newer,
Warcraft,
more online
yeah.
games that you just play so much that maybe you don't exercise enough or you neglect your other responsibilities. But Dungeons & Dragons is like a group board game. Like, has anybody gone really outer limits with it?
Well, it's right. But, well, yes, people have. I mean, you can just play on like session after session and get so caught up in it that, any other thing you get obsessed with can be bad for you. So, yes, you can get obsessed with Dungeons & Dragons. You can also get obsessed with the New Testament and go crazy and tell mm-hmm. people not to play Dungeons & Dragons.
There's that.
just an example that springs to mind.
Saw something interesting. I was watching the UFC on Fox this Saturday. Speaking of something completely different, and this UFC fighter Benson Henderson, he retained his title. He won a split decision, and then in the middle of his post fight interview, he says, "Hold on, hold on, hold on," to Joe Rogan. He gets a little package from his corner. pulls out a ring and proposes to his girlfriend in the middle of the octagon on Aww. National TV.
That's so just sweet. Like that episode of Friends when
oh yeah,
making the ring, custom ring. Yeah. I don't even watch that much Friends, but I saw that episode.
And this was the main event. So this was, it went past like local time. So if people were tuning in for their local news on the East Coast, that's what you got. This guy who had just beaten the crap out of somebody on one knee proposing to his girlfriend.
Adrian!
She said yes.
That's good.
So so that was kind of an interesting little dynamic. And then he did the interview.
Wow. Hope he wasn't like concussed from the fight and didn't mean to propose to her.
Well,
I'm just kidding. He had the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all the corner man had the ring.
Was there a close up though? Like, was it just a pull tab from a soda can?
Oh no, it was a ring. You could see it was definitely gold with something glinty on the top Ooh. Of it too. So there you go.
Good job.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa. All right. Up first in cooler tool, real sex education. Ted.
Real sex education is cool. You got to learn how these things work.
Becca.
Oh, absolutely cool. More information, better.
Literal tool. It's cool.
I'm going to refer to the show Real Sex on HBO, which is the most unsexy thing I've ever seen.
Oh, so unsexy.
Yeah, there's your education on real sex.
That sounds cool.
It's cool, though. Dungeons and Dragons, cooler tool, Christiana.
Cool.
Becca?
I just got my first set of Dungeons & Dragons dice, so I have to say cool.
Oh, yeah. You know Dungeons & Dragons are cool. Is cool. The game of. I mean, I know you're thinking 4th edition isn't that cool, but just give it some time. You'll adapt to the rules. That's what you're thinking, right, Nate?
You know, I'm thinking it's pretty harmless. Whatever fulfills your inner geek.
Yeah.
Whatever keeps you from stabbing me at the ATM. With your magical sword.
Like +1 sort of. Story.
Yeah.
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 This is such a harmonious, cooler tool. Like, we all agreed 2 rounds in a row so far.
What's better, Dungeons & Dragons or Magic the Gathering?
Totally different. It's
not the same thing at all.
Not at all.
But apples and oranges. Come on.
Ted loves both of them.
I mean, they're both games. I don't know.
What's better, Friends or Law & Order?
Yeah.
Well, they're both TV shows. Okay. I could do that. I'd take that. I would take that challenge.
And finally, in cooler tool, proposing on national TV right after whooping some ass, Becca.
You know what? I mean, it's good that she said yes, but in general, I think those kind of like high pressure, stagey proposals are not the best. So, it's specific, cool, but general tool.
I wonder where Ted's going to go with this. Ted.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm afraid I'll have to go with it's a cool move. It's risky. I mean, if he'd gotten beat, I presume he wouldn't have proposed to her. But cool for him.
Well, not in the ring anyway. Octagon, sorry.
I don't like UFC, so tool.
Oh.
I'm going to go tool for this reason. The show was running late. People wanted to get on with their lives. What are you doing holding
it up
for?
Why don't you have time for love?
I do. I've watched all the seasons of Bret Michaels Searching for Love.
Oh, boy.
I make time for love. I take time for love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Hmm.
Oh, by the way, did I mention that he had angel wings tattooed on his back? No, I didn't. Yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah. So that's cool. That's cool.
Are
cool.
They little tiny ones? Like, who has that?
Oh, no.
Nicole Richie?
No.
Has he, like, itty-bitty ones that don't even make sense? They're, like, two little tiny things on her
back. Oh, no. They go, like, all the way down his back. They're, like, life size.
We'll see that. I mean, if you're going to do
They're huge.
What's his name again?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, Benson Henderson.
Benson. Okay. It's like, you're an angel of some kind, but you're not. Michael. You know. Never mind.
Michael Landon?
I'm thinking of the Archangels.
Oh, Michael, row your boat to shore?
That's the one.
Okay.
Michael and... Oh, a moment of prayer.
I don't know what's going on. Anyway,
I haven't seen this in a long time.
Everyone's favorite Olympian, Ryan Lochte, has a new reality show. Did anybody else get a chance to see that?
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
I kind of
Why should we care?
To.
What are you doing?
So Ryan Lochte was out promoting his show. What would Ryan Lochte do on Fox 29 in Philadelphia? And so let's take a listen to what he had to say. Jail.
What am I not doing?
Okay.
I think I'm a lot different than any other kind of Olympian. I like to go out and have fun, like to go dancing, hang out with my friends.
Oh, Ryan, come on, let's be real. This show was invented to pick up women.
We're looking at video of you and you're, you know, you're out, you're having a good time. So how are you doing this and training?
My philosophy is if you're a man at night, you got to be a man in the morning. So
ooh.
If I go out all night and I go dancing and I'm drinking, you know what? I still have a job to do and I still have a goal to do.
I like that. I have a feeling my co-host.
He still has a goal to do. They mocked him mercilessly after the interview.
He sounds so boring. How can you watch a reality show with him?
He sounds high. Like, he just such a delayed response to everything.
What's really funny about the show is he's got two sisters, and one of them is, like, really pally. He's got two sisters and a brother, and one of his sisters is, like, really pally with him, and the other one makes fun of the two of them for being dumb. Like, what do you want to watch for a movie? I don't want to watch that. Oh, how about Dumb and Dumber? We can watch that. And then the smart sister goes, I don't want to watch a movie about the two of you.
Oh, zing.
Slam. Yeah. And then they went bowling. The whole family went bowling.
It sounds like the worst show ever.
Oh, it could very well be. But I still had to watch it just because I needed to know just how bad it would be.
Was Do you think he's playing up his unintelligence? Kind of like Paris Hilton on The
no.
Simple Life?
No.
I think he thinks
no.
he's the shit.
Yeah. Or I'm sorry, yeah, because that's his catchphrase.
That's his,
yeah.
Pop.
His catchphrase pop. His catchphrase is yeah.
He's got a grill.
So yeah.
He's not my favorite Olympian anymore.
He's not.
As
oh
now.
No. Oh. Well, what would Ryan Lochte do? That's Sundays on E. If you want to
smart, he wouldn't watch his show.
If you want to see just how bad it can be, you know how bad it can be. Poor Ann Curry.
Aww.
She called the last months at Today torture, and the staff loved making fun of her.
People were being dicks to her. I don't know why you're making it seem like she's the unreasonable one. I like Ann Curry. I'm pissed that they
let me
her out on the rails, really, for no good reason.
Let me just put it to you this way. Torture is when people hold you down and jam bamboo underneath your fingernails.
She said professional torture.
Okay.
She qualified it.
Yeah, okay. That's silly. The story says, Studio 1A was very unhappy and unfriendly place for Ann Curry in her final and battle year at the Today Show. Media reporter Brian Shelter shed surprising new light on Curry's infamous messy 2012 exit from the NBC Morning Show in his book, Top of the Morning, Inside the Cutthroat World of Morning TV. See, it's much more fun when you say it that way. Anyway, a lot of time in the control room was spent making fun of Ann's outfit choices, or generally just messing with her, one staff person told him. According to the same staffer, back in the spring of 2012, employees openly mocked Curry's bright yellow dress worn during one broadcast, photoshopping a picture of Big Bird next to Curry, asking the team to vote who wore it best, which is what they do in Us Weekly. See, Ted laughed.
Yeah, but I'm a guy.
Exactly. Even the show's executive producer, Jim Bell, supposedly took to teasing Curry. The author reports Bell commissioned a blooper reel of Curry's worst on-air mistakes. Wow, that would have taken a while. Another unnamed producer claimed that Bell once called staff members into his office to show a mistake Curry made while talking on-air with a local station. Now, he's denied both those incidents prior to Curry's teary send off. Several boxes of her personal belongings went missing from her office and ended up in a coat closet as if she'd already been booted off the premises. So interesting things. The behind the scenes at the Today Show.
Sounds like they're being complete pricks to her. There's really
it's pretty
no
sad.
Question. That's fucked
I
up.
Like anchoring.
I mean, messed up. Sorry.
And FCC. They say that co-anchor Matt Lauer personally concocted a plan to remove Curry from the show and replace her with Savannah Guthrie. The plan, one source told him, was called Operation Bambi, after one colleague likened firing Curry to, quote, killing Bambi. Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Why is she like Bambi?
Well, you killed
No one killed Bambi.
Nobody killed Bambi, but like she's a tiny little delicate, fragile deer in the headlights.
I contend that if you reach the rank of network anchor and you're paid millions of dollars a year, you don't get to be Bambi.
I don't think she was Bambi. I think everybody's a dick to her for no good reason. They blamed her. The show was already not as popular. They blamed her taking over because whatever. decided to make her the sacrificial deer, apparently.
Apparently.
So,
but here's what we don't hear from this book. We don't really hear, you hear everybody was mean to her. Oftentimes when things like that happen, people do things to precipitate the behavior. Not always, but sometimes. So it is, as you hear the stories.
Don't you think you
would
have heard that?
No, not necessarily.
You don't think people would have been like, oh God, she's such a bitch the whole time?
Well, you know, I had heard stories, but nothing that I want to talk about here.
Insider knowledge?
Not so much. It's just as authenticated as this bullshit sources tell me.
Oh, I see.
Crap.
Okay.
But there were things going back and forth, and Ann Curry did make a lot of gaffes. Let's be quite honest. And she did.
But
have,
any more than did you see Meredith Vieira when she started? She was terrible.
Well,
really bad.
I've seen Savannah Guthrie look very bad as well. So,
well, I think everybody's looked like dicks from time to time. So
yeah,
I
would advise everybody, especially in Sacramento, to watch Fox 40 News in the morning.
See how the professionals do it.
It's what matters to you. No. Of course they're professionals. They're paid to do it. And professional pitcher Jonathan Papelbon of the Phillies says that the president is out to get your guns.
Oh, okay.
You're wondering how did this come up? Well,
he's a baseball player. He knows what's up.
It's one of those things that
I'm sure glad we idolize our sports people so much.
Some of them.
They're so cool.
Some of them are.
Are they? They should tell the other ones to shut up then.
Well, I think some of them might.
You know, today's day and age has gotten so crazy. Everything.
He's got a good point.
Damn you.
That wasn't him?
Thing, you know, all this stuff going on, and you know, shoot, man, Obama wants to take our guns from us and everything, and you got this kind of stuff going on.
That was almost a sentence.
It's just, it's a little bit insane for me, man. I really don't even know how to take it.
He's going to be the next commentator on Fox News, isn't he?
No, because he's just a dumb guy. Really is. As he's saying this, he's got one hand up his opposite sleeve, scratching. Because that's what he does to form thoughts. He's a pitcher. And the questioning was about, cause he pitched for the Red Sox, and the questioning was about, you know, how are things in Boston? How do you feel, you know, with the whole thing, do athletes feel less safe on the field? That sort of thing. And then it led to, for some reason, Obama wants to take our guns. I don't know how it got to that, but, okay, and then what was the other thing? This pissed me off. This chowderhead in Arkansas, who I remember his first name because it's my first name, Dick, posted something about Boston, and it was I bet all the liberals in Boston wish they had AR-15s right about now. I'm like,
it was as they're cowering in their house. That was the operative language there.
Dick.
But all the people in Boston who are cowering in their house wish that they had, you know, weapons and stuff now.
Because the bomb wouldn't have gone off if everyone had guns. Is that right?
He's such a dick.
Because everyone could have shot their neighbor who looked slightly dark or swarthy or was wearing a hat or walked across the street at night, and they all could participate because, of course, the bombers are all coming into everybody's individual home.
Yeah.
So his name is Nate Bell, and he's taken his picture off his Twitter feed. He might have even gotten rid of it. He's a state lawmaker in Arkansas. After he said his stupidity, he tweeted, "I would like to apologize to the people of Boston and Massachusetts for the poor timing of my tweet earlier this week."
Poor timing.
To which I personally replied, by the way.
Ooh.
It wasn't the timing, you stain. It was the complete ignorance and insensitivity. I'm ashamed to share a first name with you.
Oh, snap.
So,
yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, he's specifically referencing the current events in Boston. So, like, I should have said this at another time. It's like, when before the Boston bombing?
After whatever the next terrible thing is.
Right.
Such a friggin' stain.
Yes.
Just pissed me off. Sorry.
No, I'm
that
with
should
you.
Have been in the Boston segment. That was just poor planning on my part. That's what I apologize for. I apologize for the poor formatting of the show.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It was just the timing.
I'm coming for you, Nate Bell from Arkansas, you dick. I'm going to wipe you. Seriously, everybody named Nate within the sound of my voice should tweet this dickweed. Although he's probably not on Twitter anymore. He's probably hiding.
All the cowering, but armed.
Yeah, cowering, but armed. Yes, but he can't escape my sharp tongue. That's right.
Tweeting tongue.
It's true. I have news from Reno.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Reno police say two men were detained in the area of McCarran and Smithridge following a call to Reno police reporting a vehicle burglary in progress. According to the press release, officers detained the men at about 5:30 p.m. in a popular shopping center parking lot and soon learned that no burglary had occurred. That's right. Rather, the men were in the midst of scamming a woman into paying for repairs to her vehicle, which consisted of duct tape and black paint, for which she was expected to pay in excess of $100. One of the men turned out to be wanted out of Santa Clara, California, on a fraud warrant with bail of $250,000. And by the way, the Reno Police Department would like to warn residents that scams like these are common and that reputable car mechanics do not contact people in parking lots at random.
Or use duct tape.
No, they do use duct tape, but they don't roll out in the parking lot and go, "Hey, you look like you got a problem." Christiana, you can see that fellow. Would you let him touch your car? Like, come anywhere near your car?
Probably not.
I mean, in a parking lot?
No. Okay.
Is it daylight? Structure or surface?
It could be surface. Seriously, the sun could be at 12 o'clock noon beating down on me. I wouldn't let this dude within 100 yards of my car.
Oh, man.
He looks sketchy because he is sketchy. By the way, real mechanics will not come up to you.
Real lawyers will, though. That's a thing.
Oh, my God. You can't
in
get rid of them.
Parking lots.
Like, hey,
would you like to sue somebody? Hi. I'm a lawyer.
Stand behind this car as they pull out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time for Florida Corner, but it's Florida of the North Corner this week.
Woo.
That's right. Ohio Republicans want to ban sex ed classes because they say... they want to ban them from talking about gateway sexual activity.
What is a gateway sexual activity? Kissing?
Glad you asked.
anything.
Speaking of segues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Touching, looking, kissing, licking, fondling, petting.
Are you reading or reciting from memory?
No, I'm just making shit up.
Okay.
It encompasses all sexual contact. Let me find it here. Sex ed classes wouldn't be permitted to provide students with any information that might condone a type of gateway activity that includes dispensing contraception. The legislation would also empower parents to sue if their children ended up receiving this type of sexual instruction, and sex ed teachers could be subject to thousands of dollars in fines.
That is the worst thing I've heard in the past 2 minutes.
Yeah. It includes any touching of an erogenous zone of another, including, without limitation, the thigh, genitals, buttock, pubic region, or, if the person is female, a breast.
If they're male, feel away.
Yeah, feel away. Let your fingers do the walking. So, yeah. If a student receives any such instruction, a parent or guardian can sue for damages, and a court may impose a civil fine of up to $5,000.
On the teacher, not the district, the teacher.
The teacher. For teaching that.
Am horrified.
So, like, even if a student asks them a direct biological question, they have to just say no comment?
Correct. If this bill passes, and this has been attached to a budget bill in Ohio, so it might get through. So congratulations, Ohio. Also, in Ohio, a Catholic school teacher was fired because she's in a gay relationship. But not just because. It's how they found out that made me go, An anonymous parent had written to the Roman Catholic Diocese of Columbus complaining that Carla Hale had listed her female partner's name in an obituary.
Oh,
my God.
That's right. Students and supporters, though, recently caught wind of the firing, and a petition has been initiated on change.org to seek Hale's reinstatement. That had gained at least 4,000 signatures. The school claims its mission is to teach its students about love, acceptance, and tolerance, and yet did none of this by the way it treated Ms. Hale, the petition reads.
Isn't there... How could they just fire her? Are there any grounds for firing her, legally speaking?
Catholic school.
Yeah, Catholic school.
They have the right. They have the right to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give them my Boy Scout treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can do it.
You shouldn't.
They
Jesus
have,
is still watching.
Mm-hmm. They have the right to do it.
Horrible.
But yeah, so that's why Ohio, the Florida of the North, got to have its own corner this show.
Congratulations, Ohio.
We may keep moving Florida corner around to different states.
Well, if states really deserve it, then they will.
You want to act like Florida? We're going to treat like Florida. Get out the credence.
We'll get out the credence. We'll make fun of you. There'll be a mock fest. I'm looking at you, Arkansas.
Okay, Arizona. But just to backtrack for just a second about this whole, like, let's push abstinence-only education. I mean, do parents realize that, like, we're living in the age of the internet? Like, they can't put the genie back in the box. I feel like kids can get information
maybe they don't have
outside
internet.
Of school.
Yeah, if they did, they know that the genie is in a bottle, not a box.
Oh, but sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, sweetheart.
Oh. If I had better education.
My God. Oh, I just killed Bambi.
Oh, shit. Am I the Ann Curry of the Nate Darling Show?
It's looking that way, Bambi.
Oh, no.
Bad day to wear a yellow dress, Bambi.
I'm not wearing yellow today. I'm wearing black.
The Count wore it better.
Wait, which one of you is the Matt Lauer then?
I don't know. Ted and I both have a Matt Lauer type hairline.
Don't Lauer this shit up, kids.
It's true. Although I don't wear glasses and Ted does and Matt does sometimes. So I think we're some sort of... if we were to somehow in some weird nuclear way fuse together into one person, we'd be Matt Lauer.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
You'd be really rich. Could you take us on vacation?
If that happens, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Who are you, Christiana? I don't watch the Today Show, so...
I'd like to say I'm Natalie Morales, but I'm probably like six of her. She's so tiny. So tiny.
Oh.
I've always liked Savannah. I'm the Savannah.
Okay.
She's got the legal background. God damn it, she's tall.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we kind of... What happened after the genie got out of the box? What was your... What
yeah.
Oh, just my point was I feel like... You okay, so go ahead and ban talk about sex from this one health class. Like, you're not going to keep your kids from learning stuff because they're better at technology than you and all the information is out there.
That's right. And if they don't have it, their friends are going to have it at a public school, although this isn't a public school, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's out there.
Yeah, you know what else is out there? The backseat of the car.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
You know, kids could just proctor it. They could do it themselves.
I don't think kids have urges unless they learn about their urges. Just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue came, and I had to go to school and go, what is going on?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Nothing ever occurred to me until I got a health textbook in like 10th grade, and then I was like, wow, this is hot.
Now it all makes sense.
The clinical diagram of a penis turned you on.
Mm-hmm. The cross section. And until I saw the cross section of a lady's private parts.
First time I saw vas deferens spelled out. Hank has a narrow urethra.
Oh, boy.
I thought this sort of thing would have passed by now, but apparently it hasn't. Clerks in various places are writing stupid things on customers' receipts.
Oh, God.
Because they're stupid.
Oh, right.
Yeah. This comes to us from the great state of New Jersey. Oh. Uh-huh. A CVS customer of Korean descent is suing the drugstore chain CVS after allegedly being labeled Ching Chong Lee on her receipt. According to the lawsuit filed earlier this week in a federal court, the customer had placed a photo print order online using her own name. Who prints photos through the... You deserve to be mocked for that, Ms. Lee, if that is your name. Or should I just call you Ching Chong? Anyway,
no, don't.
She went to pick up her order at the store, her name had been changed to the aforementioned Ching Chong, which her lawyer described to 1010 Winds in New York City. Sittery? Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
That's okay.
As very pejorative racial slur meant for Asians. That is not her name.
No.
Why we clarified that.
Thanks for clarifying that, barrister. Yeah. there is no amount, in my opinion, of training from CVS or any company that is going to stop this kind of hate and bullying against someone's race, the attorney tells 1010 Wins. To me, this is something that deserves psychological counseling, not CVS counseling.
What the hell, CVS counseling?
The suit seeks $1 million in damages, I assume from CVS and not from said employee who needs counseling. Not CVS counseling, but real counseling.
I think $1 million is really hard to justify. That seems extreme and litigious to me, but I do think that it's terrible that, you know, I mean, it's I don't know. I think what we're learning here, you know, because remember, wasn't it just sometime last week that we were talking about the reporter who left Big Homo Dads in his copy.
Yes.
Like, don't write stuff down as a joke that you intend to erase later, everybody. Like, just don't write it down. Think it in your head if you need to, but don't write it down because you will forget and then you will get fired.
It's good advice. It didn't happen.
I think, frankly, they did the right. They did the right thing. Assuming this is the first offense.
Mm-hmm.
If this employee has done it before, then the employee should be fired. If this is the first offense, then what you should do is train. And if the employee so much as looks cross-eyed at somebody in the future, then they're out.
What if they look like...
No. What you're going to say, no.
When the woman took the issue to CVS customer relations, she was told the employee in the incident would be counseled and trained. That was their answer.
That's an appropriate response.
That's fair, yeah.
That seems fair.
We have to think people are teachable because... To me, if we're punitive on the first offense,
I'm sorry.
We're punitive on the first offense, then it's just gonna. Then this person really is probably gonna be hateful and spiteful forevermore.
Yeah,
that's true.
They're not gonna learn anything. They're gonna be like, "Well, fuck everybody,"
especially those people.
Yeah, really.
Whoever they are.
they're going to just continue
to other whoever they were othering to begin with.
Yeah,
it's true. But yes, $1 million. I'm. That's a lot of hurt feelings. I'm just saying.
I know, and it makes me think of those poor Stockton ladies that only got 25% off their check, right? Well,
they still sued, so that hasn't been adjudicated yet.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize they had been suing. I was like, they got like $12.50, and this lady wants $1 million. But who knows? Who knows what people will get?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have more legal news. This from across the pond.
Imagine a world without lawyers.
One more time.
Oh.
Let me try that again. Hold on.
Can you imagine a world without lawyers?
That's right. Peter Lloyd, why I'm suing my gym over their sexist women-only hours.
What?
That's right. When I became a member of my local gym, it was to exercise my body, not my human rights. But that's exactly what I'm doing with this Kentish town sports center in North London. The venue, owned by fitness company Better in association with Camden Council, attracts hundreds of people from all sections of society, religious, atheist, male, female, young and old. There's no dominant demographic. Everybody is welcome and everybody gets in, but not everybody is equal. That's right, because in an age of political overcorrectness, they ban all men and boys for 442 hours every year simply because they're male. Adding insult to injury, they still charge them the same full-price membership fee as women, but refuse to offer the equivalent option of male-only sessions. That's right. Not only is this an outrageous business model, but it's also sexist. Given that the council officials base it almost solely on the women's needs. Fair? I think not. But because we live in an age of accepting misandry... I don't know what that word is. Most people are too polite.
It means hating dudes.
Oh, yeah. And
it's misogynist, but for dudes.
Oh, I'm going to use that. Most people are too polite to say anything. Not me! Several weeks ago, I formally complained to the general manager asking him to change the policy with one of three alternatives. I'm sure this went well. A, maintain a women's hour but introduce a men's alternative for fairness. B, keep women's hour and only women's hour, but annually charge men less. Or C, scrap single gender-based sessions altogether. Hardly controversial. After all, if demand for women's only sessions is so great, then the gym should put their money where their mouth is and fund it themselves. Unsurprisingly, they declined.
Hmm.
I'm not going to go on from there because it's a fairly lengthy article. But
wow, what more is there to say? Don't answer that.
Yeah, it's
the British gym that I belong to had an upstairs loft that was women's only. And the rest of the gym was co-ed. Because sometimes you don't want to deal with dudes. I don't know. I mean, it's the same reason Curves is a successful business model.
Can't you just go to a women's only gym if you don't want men around when you exercise?
Not if you live in a market that can't sustain that many fitness facilities.
Oh.
Well, and the other side of the whole thing is it would be very difficult to open a men's only gym. And I believe you could go to Curves if you were a guy if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think so.
But I don't know any guys that want to.
Have they tried? I want to also know if this guy like tried to go during women's hours and was turned away.
Yeah, I'm not going any further into this article.
I don't think he says.
Yeah. Huh.
But I want to know how much is it actually like, you know, it's women's hours from 6 to 7 every morning. But if a dude shows up, we're not going to fucking turn you away. So let's chill out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a very interesting point, though, because... You know, you can't do it the other way. And I understand women not wanting guys around when they're working out. but maybe we want to grunt and move things very loudly.
They
and,
might be able to do it the other way. They haven't tried. It's right. This is straw feminism or straw sexism. I don't think there's inconclusive evidence that it's really a problem.
I do see a point that he's making, but he is going over the top and he's making the slippery slope argument that if this is first, then what's next? Why are we funding all of these hours when we can't go to the gym, and why shouldn't we pay less for
what's the slippery slope argument?
Well, because the slippery slope argument is
take 2 hours a day, exactly. Then they'll take 4,
and then we won't be able to work out at all.
Oh my
and
God.
We'll be flabby and we won't be muscular and they'll take over and kill us all.
They'll be in there in their yoga pants laughing at us. That's what women wear, right? Okay. Pretty much, yeah.
I don't know if it's actionable with their laws. It probably is here, but
I'm very disappointed I didn't read that whole thing in a snooty British accent, but I thought that would have been a little pejorative. That's right. I used a big word.
Ooh.
Yay, big words. Big words. Anyway, if you'd like to learn big words, maybe you'd like to get a thesaurus or another book or something like that from, say, Amazon. If you're going to do that, here's what we'd like you to do, please, because we give you free entertainment every week. First, go to NateDarlingShow.com. Then click the Shop Amazon tab. Then shop away at Amazon like you normally would. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It helps support the show, and it sticks it to the man because we take our cut out of them.
Why can't it stick it to the woman?
Because a woman isn't in charge of Amazon yet. That's why.
Ooh.
Yeah. Bummer. Someday we're going to stick it to the woman at Amazon, too. Hey, now. So, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I just went into something. Yeah. It started going one way, and it went totally another way.
As
the Brits would say, it went pear-shaped on us. It did.
They would say that?
Mm.
Oh,
mm.
Those Brits have a word for everything. I don't know.
They do. Several sometimes.
Wonky.
Yeah. It went pear-shaped. I want to incorporate that, but I think people would slap me if I did. It would just be very, very weird.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right. We made it to the end of another show. Thank goodness. Yeah. By the way, all you people in Arkansas, get ready. I'm coming for you. Hey, small town news comes to us from Newport City, Vermont, where after decades, the youth baseball field at Gardner Park now has an official name.
Ooh.
What is it?
That's right. It has been informally known as Cal Ripken Field, but the city council approved a request to name the field the Gary Rowe Youth Baseball Field.
Yay.
Because Gary Rowe dedicated many hours to youth sports in the city and surrounding area, the council named the field 3 years to the day after Rowe's death.
Oh.
A sign identifying the field will now hang below the scoreboard. Jack Roberge, who represented the Newport Cal Ripken Baseball League, is providing the sign at no cost.
Oh, that,
that's good. It's a good story.
It is.
A happy story.
I'm glad we're remembering Mr. Rowe for his efforts.
Yeah, not all small town news is silly or stupid. It's
only
just
in Florida.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, Florida. I'm just kind of curious when Cal Ripken Baseball League happened. Did that replace something? Did Cal Ripken replace Babe Ruth? What's going on now? Is it because kids don't know who Babe Ruth is? Damn you kids!
Is the one the candy bar is named after?
No. No. Not at all. He was a drinking, hot dog eating...
It's a fat cheater?
Philandering.
Fat cheater.
Cigar smoking American hero.
Fat cheater.
I saw him in the epic rap battle of history versus Lance Armstrong.
That's right.
Ooh.
Y'all should listen and watch those things, everyone. Do it now. Okay, that's it.
Do what now?
Epic rap battles of history.
Oh, okay.
Ted loves them. They're amazing.
They're my favorite thing, next to the Nate Darling Show.
Well, fair. That is a fair point to have.
Conceited because I'm part of that. Oh, man.
No, it's not conceited at all.
Good.
You can love the rest of us all you like, and no one will think anything less of you.
Okay.
It's true.
Never mind.
Maybe. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Exactly. Hey, so coming up this weekend, shows at the Sacramento Comedy Spot, in your Facebook at 8 o'clock, followed by Anti-Cooperation League at 9. Get your tickets at saccomedyspot.com. Come out and see Ted and myself and Christiana and a group of other funny people do funny things.
Funnily.
To amuse the people who paid to get in. It could be you.
Could be you.
It'll be me. I'm coming.
Excellent.
You could That's be our one. Guest.
The gang will all be there.
79 tickets left.
Oh, that's the capacity now?
I don't really know.
I don't know either.
But only two seats next to me.
Ooh, it's true.
Ooh. Act now.
That's right. Yeah, and if you haven't been to the comedy, if you've been to the Comedy Spot but not in a while, things have moved around a little bit, so you need to go again because it's very different.
Plus, there's beer. That's been a while, hasn't it?
Well, not for some people. There's beer.
There's beer.
So come get your beer and get your comedy Saturday night there and do all that. I'm just vamping till the end of this song so we can wrap this thing up.
I was wondering why we were hitting the Comedy Spot so much.
Well, because we have a show this weekend.
Well, I know, but that's a good point. I guess I should embrace
Don't undersell
it.
Your own show.
Are you the director?
Why are we talking about our show so much? Come on, guys.
Turned into the producers.
Stop overselling this crap.
Why are you talking about that thing that we have going on that we'd like people to come out and see?
It's reverse psychology.
Oh.
Is it working? I don't know. It's CVS psychology. That's a callback. Mm-hmm. That's what we call
CVS
it call.
Counseling. What is that?
I don't know.
Know either, but that'll do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. You all be very good to yourselves, and it should have played the next song. Yeah, laugh at me, bitch. Yeah, I went that way with it. We'll see you Friday with another one.
Cool.
Leave you with some Green Day. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.